They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Congress looks hard at derivatives.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Those tricky investments called derivatives have gotten a bad rap lately, and today they're the focus of a Senate committee hearing. Now, derivatives are basically deals that let people trade almost anything from wheat futures to home loans. Some derivatives trades have been blamed for at least part of the financial meltdown. Thus, today's Senate hearing, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Senator Chris Dodd has a plan. Bring derivatives out into the open. The Democratic lawmaker has introduced legislation that would require these complex instruments to be traded on a public exchange. Barbara Matthews is a regulatory consultant.
The exchange trading basically will funnel all activity into a standard format. And so the price of that trading will be visible to anybody who has an interest.
Like you might see on the New York Stock Exchange. But some people think regular banks shouldn't trade these risky instruments. That includes Democratic Senator Blanche Lincoln. She introduced her own legislation.
It means that if you're going to be a bank and you want to be a bank, then you need to be a bank and you need to spin off the risky activity that exists out there.
The bill would essentially make it nearly impossible for banks with insured deposits to engage in risky derivatives trading.
We have FDIC insurance, which makes sure that, you know, people are protected.
Mike Consul is a research fellow with the Roosevelt Institute.
What we don't want is that insurance to be used to run a casino. That's what Senator Lincoln's language does.
And the hope is this legislation could help prevent another financial crisis. Regulatory consultant Barbara Matthews says if the crisis is big enough.
I tend to believe that irrespective of what the law says, the government would step in anyway.
Today, lawmakers may begin to explore a compromise between Dodd and Lincoln's bills. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Also today, Chrysler will issue its first financial results since Italian carmaker Fiat took it over. Now, car sales have rebounded generally, but Chrysler was the only major automaker to post a sales loss this year. And Marketplace's John Dimsdale says analysts don't expect much improvement yet.
Chrysler got rid of unwanted dealers and a lot of debt during bankruptcy, but those are the only improvements so far, says Michelle Krebs of the automotive website Edmunds.com.
It doesn't have any new product to sell, which makes it much more difficult to generate revenue.
Whether Fiat will have the money and creativity to turn Chrysler around remains to be seen. Snazzier, smaller Fiat-designed cars won't reach showrooms until next year. And until then, Krebs doesn't see how Chrysler's new owner can transform the company.
2010 will be certainly the most difficult year. If they can get through this, they might be able to thrive.
One success for Chrysler this year has been corporate fleet sales to rental car companies, for example. That keeps factories humming, but doesn't generate much profit. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia followed Wall Street upward today for the most part. Apple said it sold almost 9 million iPhones last quarter. Profits there shot up 90%, and that boosted Asian technology stocks today. Also getting a boost, the price of oil. It rose above $84 a barrel. European shares are mixed, and on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 25 points to close at 11,117.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Now it's time to widen our gaze and look at how the rest of the world does business with our globalist quiz with Quizmaster Stefan Richter of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Bill. Are you ready for today's globalist quiz?
Let's do it.
In which area does Germany rank first in the world? Is it A, in exports, B, in solar power, or C, in cars?
Well, I think that Germany is Europe's biggest exporter. That was A. But for the entire world, I'm going to say solar power.
Wow. You floor me. You're absolutely right. And I would bet that almost nobody would figure that. I mean, if you remember, if you've ever been over there, Germany certainly doesn't rank among the world's sunniest places.
That's true. I actually was going to go for cars, but I thought, no, they're just famous for cars.
And you're right again. They have high-priced cars that most of us can't afford, and they still desperately try to sell.
Well, let's get back to them being number one in solar power. How do they pull that off? It's not sunny Southern California.
Well, it all depends in environmental policy, what the government plans to do. And in Germany, as in much of Europe, the government is interested in having sustainable forms of energy. If in Germany there is less sunshine naturally, well, one thing that helps is to have a regime that tax benefits the installation of solar panels. In fact, Germany has the largest installed power base of solar panels, which is what makes it number one in the world. And currently, many of those that are installed in Germany are produced in Germany. It's a question of environmental policies and tax regimes.
Very interesting, Stefan. Thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Visit the daily online magazine on the global economy, politics, and culture at www.theglobalist.com. And finally, we told you yesterday the doormen of New York City were set to go on strike last night at midnight, raising the terrifying specter of New Yorkers having to sort their own mail, haul their own garbage to the curb, even open their own doors. The New York Times tried to help yesterday by publishing these instructions. Approach door, grasp knob with right hand if right-handed, left hand if left-handed. Using free hand, push door, you have now created a large vertical opening. Well, it turns out the strike didn't happen. Dorman reached a deal with the city's building owners. Crisis averted. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.